Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Well, for this week's Divine Intervention, we are back in the Cape. We are at a farm called Sonnebloem, and we'll be trying one of their white wines. Before, as usual, before I introduce the wine, I will introduce our food and wine guru, recipient of the Eat Out People's Great Contributor, Bloke of the Year, whatever the title was. What was it, Michael?
Lifetime Achievement Award.
You have achieved a lifetime. Congratulations. Michael Olivier, great that you could join us today and talk us through this wine. With me in the Joburg studio, first, because she is a lady, we have Colleen Morris from Wine Concepts. I've remembered the name of your excellent wine boutique in the Bluebird Centre, just off Corlett Drive, just off Athol Oaklands, and quite simply, the best wine outlet in Joburg. With me, we have the best economist with me this evening, Dennis Dykes from Nedbank. Dennis, great to welcome you for the first time to Divine Intervention.
Good to be here.
And someone who's become a regular because he takes all the right laxatives, Jeff Osborne. Jeff, great to have you back as well. Right.
Thank you so much.
Well, I've introduced the wines and insulted some of our guests. So it's time to actually focus on the wine. It's a Sauvignon Blanc 2014, so it's pretty recent from Sonnebloem. Michael, tell us about it.
Well, Sonnebloem is quite interesting because it's essentially, apart from Dion Vossoff, the cellar master, is operated by ladies. And Amelie Fulhune is the viticulturist there, and she sources the grapes for Sonnebloem, and these come from Stellenbosch and Darling. This is a quite exciting wine made by Elise Kutsi, and she has this wealth of grapes to choose from. So they pick some early, they pick some later. So you've got this lovely, lovely gem bright wine with a sort of green flashes around the edges, and then on the nose you get both those sort of green fig, fynbos herbaceousness, and the tropical fruit as well. There's some granadilla going on there in the nose as well. Once you take a sip, you've got that lovely tropical fruit there again, fresh, crisp, nice sort of follow through. I think it's quite nicely balanced as well. Nice acidity, nice fruit, and a good long aftertaste. A really nice glass of wine, both as an aperitif and with food.
I'm quite enjoying it, Michael. As you say, there's a lot of fruit, but it's a dry wine, and I appreciate that. And of course, Sauvignon Blanc is one of the restaurant favourites in South Africa.
Absolutely,
these days,
yeah.
Isn't it? But what do I know? Let's go to somebody who spends her life drinking wine, pulling corks out of bottles and other tortures. Colleen, what are you making of the Sonnebloem Sauvignon Blanc 2014?
Well, I'd agree that Sauvignon Blanc is still really the flavour in all restaurants, and I think it has been for many, many years, where it will still be the wine of choice for those who maybe don't quite know what they would want to order. You know, it's a good default. And for that reason, it's really good if we can have good Sauvignon Blancs like this on the lists, you know, so that people can be exposed to these kind of things. This wine, for me, I must admit, I haven't had Sonnebloem Sauvignon Blanc for many, many years probably. And this one shows more fruit than I expected, and a great balance. I quite like the... You're talking about the tropical fruit, and I just want to say, for me, it's not that ripe tropical fruit that some people might think. It's more like a subtle, fresh tropical fruit, so more sort of maybe grapefruit coming through there a little bit as well, rather than really ripe pawpaws.
Yeah.
So, and that's quite nice. You know, it's nice and gentle. It's a feminine wine.
Well, I think Dennis Dykes is not a feminine economist, but we'll get his opinion, Dennis.
Well, that's probably why I like it so much. No, I really do enjoy drinking Sauvignon Blanc. I think it's it really is a wine of choice, particularly when we're having seafood and that type of thing. Again, it's nice and it's fairly dry, and it's you can smell those fruits, and it's definitely something I would order in a restaurant.
Excellent. Well, take us to lunch, and we'll put you to the test. Jeff Osborne, what do you make of this?
Hey, John, if you'll forgive me, you omitted to mention I'm with Gumtree. I hate to let that go. Yeah. No one's perfect, I know. But where this wine is concerned, I agree with Colleen. Certainly Sauvignon Blanc for a long time has been the wine of favour, if you like, whereas prior to that it was Chardonnay. And I personally have more recently migrated to the Chenin Blanc, but I'm particularly enjoying this one. It's certainly very subtle, very smooth, and the hints of the various fruits that have been referred to are very subtle as well. And it's I agree with Dennis. It's a wine that I could drink copious amounts of, given the right occasion and the right food.
Well, subtle and smooth, so obviously it's nothing like me. However, I, as I said, Michael, I think this is a pretty versatile wine. You could serve it with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any ideas?
This is sort of real sort of summery seafoody salad kind of wine, or you know, prawns just cooked in some lemon garlic butter or something like that. Perfect with a wine like this.
Colleen, your thoughts on pairing it with food?
Yeah, I agree with the seafood thing, definitely. I quite like that little herbaceousness coming out, and for that, you know, that salad that has got maybe those baby herb leaves in it and those kind of things.
Yes.
So, yeah, but, you know, I saw yesterday on a menu lovely sea bass, and I can just imagine that dish that I had with the sea bass and the lovely greens they had with it would go so well with this wine. So, yeah, definitely seafood for me.
I concur with that, Jeff.
No, absolutely. Seafood, I think, is a given. Shellfish, particularly good as well.
Excellent. Well, I have to say that, Michael, I think I mentioned this to you earlier, that I'm delighted about the job we're trying to do to entertain and inform people about South African wines. But sometimes you do come across one or two problems, and I can give you my two latest anecdotes. I was in a branch of Checkers recently, and there was a lady doing a demonstration of the wines, and I asked what the reds were, and I was told they were Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. Now, I think that if you're...
Merlot is better than Merlipple, eh?
Absolutely, yeah, always.
Well, no, it was a normal-sized bottom. It wasn't a Magnum. Did I say normal-sized bottom? I think I meant to say normal-sized bottle. I wasn't referring to the demonstrator, but to the contents, the liquid. Okay, that's one example. More recently, I attended a function at a large law firm, walked through the door, and there was a gentleman with a large tray with, I suppose, half a dozen, maybe a dozen glasses of what looked like bubbly. So I asked him what it was. Was it champagne? And he said, yes, it's Pongratz. And of course, as you know, Pongratz is an excellent bubbly, but it's from the Cape, not from the Champagne region of France. So you shouldn't really be working in a law firm if you don't know the law, because the French would probably sue you for that sort of thing. That's a rather long introduction to a rather short question. Do you think we're doing enough to train people who are in the hospitality industry and in the retail industry to sell stuff with confidence and with authority and with accuracy?
Look, I don't think that we're doing enough training, but I think the people who are doing the training, like Kathy Marston, who's doing the WSET programs, is doing a brilliant, brilliant job. She works down here. She goes to Johannesburg quite often. I think Colleen works with her there. And the Cape Wine Academy does a pretty good job as well.
And I follow that. As you know, Michael, I was on Warwick Wine Estate quite recently.
Yeah.
And they had a black gentleman who was in the tasting room who was talking to a group of visitors and did an absolutely stunning job. So yeah. whether or not you've been brought up on a wine farm, as one of our guests has, I believe, or if you're just a casual person who's interested in wine, you can be trained and taught. And I know you did some excellent work for Pick and Pay a while back, bringing up the level of the people there dealing with wine. Dennis, any thoughts on this? Obviously, an economist must have an interest in skills and skinning people.
Well, that's probably the most ignorant year about wines. I do think it is important that we improve knowledge, and I think it really depends on the restaurant you go to. You know, sometimes it's excellent, but it's very variable.
And Colleen, you're in a business where you have face-to-face contact with customers. They come in, they want advice. You have a great range of wines that maybe aren't household names, but you've sourced them with care and attention. And when you're not there, presumably you need your staff to have that authority and confidence and accuracy when they're giving advice.
Yeah, I really think it's up to each and every single employer to make sure their staff is comfortable doing the job that they are employed for. and it's not fair to the employee to put them on the floor and in a situation where they cannot be comfortable. It really, yeah. The employers really need to take ownership of this problem rather than, you know, maybe hiring and firing quickly when people disappoint. You know, it's their simple stuff. You know, the person who's employed to do the job needs to be able to do the job, and if he needs training to do that job better, then it's up to the owner to make sure he gets that training. You know, I think that we are certainly service orientated, but are we always product knowledge orientated and whatever, and that's important. Product knowledge, you know, makes the service so much easier.
So Jeff Osborne, hire and train, and then you don't need to fire.
Yeah, well, I must say I'm always intrigued, if not disquieted, by a waiter who seems to have an intimate knowledge of a particular wine, where he can describe it in terms of the taste and all the flavours that he detects in the wine. One can only speculate how he would know that. But, you know, I guess that's the challenge with wine. One can talk about a wine, but in order to really know, to talk about it with any level of authority or compassion, you'd have to drink a certain amount. But, you know, fundamental knowledge is important, and training is what it's all about. And I suppose give them the odd sip. Why not?
Well, Michael, you ran a restaurant, and you used to use students, I think, sometimes among your staff. There's nothing wrong with that. Students need work, and I remember they were always very attractive students. I'm sure your wife was keeping a good eye on you at the time. But it's the same challenge, isn't it, in a restaurant?
We spent a lot of time training our staff because we wanted them to be good, and we got into the national top 10 as a result. But one of the things that I used to do every night was if there was any wine left in any bottle, the waitresses used to take it through to the bar. And then after service, I would talk them through the little bits of wine that were there so that they could, next time that a guest came in, they could say, look, try the Brampton Sauvignon Blanc or whatever it was, because they tasted it the night before or last week or whatever.
And of course, Michael, the evenings I was there, there wasn't much scope for training, was there? Not many empty bottles on the Fraser table.
Jeff? I can just picture the waiters thanking for that and then advising the clients not to drink the bottom of the bottle, because there's a bit of a dregs in it. Just leave about half an inch.
But as I think...
Make it an inch.
Angel Chef.
Thank you.
As I think I told you, there's a restaurant not far from where you used to run your last restaurant, Parks, where I went a while back. It's on a wine estate and very, very, very expensive. And the last time I was there, I ordered a very, very, very expensive bottle of Constantia wine that was absolutely superb, and they tried to get away with keeping several inches in the bottom of the bottle instead of serving me. And of course they kept the bottle way out of arm's reach from the table on a sideboard, and I actually had to get up from my chair to pour the rest of the wine to finish the bottle. Now that's taking things the other way, isn't it, Dennis?
Absolutely. The other thing is you'd have to arrange for transport for the waiters and waitresses after service.
Well, they don't have to swallow. They can just sip and spit. Something that I never had to do with your food, Michael, I have to say. It was
probably
always
swallowed.
Thank you, Mr. Gumtree, for that that cultured insight. Well, I'm afraid, Michael, that once again we're running out of time, but we will be back next week, and I believe we'll be trying a wine which Colleen will be bringing in from her family farm. So looking forward to that, but looking back with, I think, general acclaim and praise and enjoyment to the 2014 Sauvignon Blanc from Sonnenblume, it only remains for me to thank our food and wine guru and lifetime achiever, Michael Olivier. Michael, lots more lifetime, we hope.
Thanks, John.
Lovely to chat to you. And, of course, to our guests in the Joburg studio, to Ned Banks, Economist of the Year 2 years ago, I think it was, Dennis?
Last year, actually.
Yeah, former Economist of the Year, so he's not that stupid. He's actually quite good. Colleen, hopefully Wine Retailer of the Year before long. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And Jeff Osborne, Gumtree Employee of the Week. Thanks to all of you. I'm John Fraser. This has been Divine Intervention.